And it is now time for our biblical worldview question of the week.
With Nancy Fitzgerald from the Ministry of Anchors Away, based in Carmel, a biblical worldview ministry helping to train our young people in biblical worldview so that when they age out of their youth groups, leave high school, go to college, where their faith is going to be tested, they will know how to stand firm in it. Nancy, I got to tell you, you must really rate high in Steve's book because he is standing up now to talk to you, and he's been sitting down all morning. That's respect.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Oh my goodness. Well, so
our question. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying it's good to have Steve on his feet, you know?
It's a good thing.
It's his morning exercise.
I don't know if we want to let him be that free range and just walk around. I got my work cut out for me now.
I'm standing now.
He is.
Okay, there you go.
So anyway, our question today, this is a great question. I mean, seriously, how should I deal with unmet expectations, those times when I feel like God has let me down?
Yes, and I'm sure a lot of us are feeling that these days. I talked to my niece who's looking forward to graduating and from high school and all of this stuff, and all of a sudden, nothing. And there are other people who had great hopes of doing things this time of year with family, and they have had to undo those, to say nothing of people who are getting ill and don't know what to do. You know, this whole thing of unmet expectations, especially when it comes to God, is critical to talk about. You know, I remember a birthday I had when I was 10, and all I wanted was a bike. That's all I wanted. And they had a big party, spent the day with our family, this and that and the other, and I got a jacket that I really didn't like and a couple other things, and no bike. And I, you know, I can remember that, not that I'm bitter or anything, but I can still remember it. But the thing is, with unmet expectations, it can ruin so much of a day or of an experience. You know, unmet expectations, often everything is thrown out the window. All this stuff is good because we're focusing on something that has nothing to do really in a spiritual realm what God wants us to focus on. And we lack the bigger picture. We lack that sovereignty of God mentality, where when things don't go my way, there might be a bigger reason why. Now, in this case, with my bike, my parents wanted to save it for the really big day, which was Christmas, but I was too narrow-minded to get it. And, you know, I thought about this, that of that piece of my past when I read an account this last week of New Testament scholars. And I know, Kelly, you talked about this. I think you had a sermon on it this week. But John Dominic Crossan and Marcus Borg, they pointed out that the parade heralded Jesus's entry into Jerusalem, you know, on Palm Sunday, wasn't the biggest or most spectacular parade in town during that particular Passover season. Pilate had his own parade. Pilate's entry was a show of force, including cavalry on horses, foot soldiers, leather armor, helmets, weapons, banners, gold eagles mounted on poles, sun glistening on metal and gold. You know, imagine the sound of the drums. Imagine the marching feet and the clanking of the soldiers' gear and the clomping of the horses' feet. You know, I can feel like I was there. But the purpose of this parade was to strike fear into those who had even the smallest inkling of coming up against such a powerful regime. And trust me, they did. They were thinking about it. But then the other procession, this was Jesus's entry into Jerusalem. While Pilate's parade showed intimidation through military strength, which the people loved, by the way, Jesus's was the opposite. And this is where we can learn so much about Jesus and the life that we're called to live. You know, in Matthew and Mark, I recorded Jesus's words telling him to go and find a donkey, not a steed to ride in, but a donkey. And it says this in Matthew 21, 1 through 5. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied in a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." Do you think our God is sovereign? I mean, reading this is just like, oh my. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, and that was in Zechariah 9:9, by the way, saying to the daughter of Zion, "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, a foal at the of a beast of burden." So again, we see this bigger picture, God, the sovereign one. And I just think it's so interesting because the Jews hated the Romans so much, and their expectations were so high that God would send a king with power and might, just like Pilate. Only a good Pilate. Pilate was so evil. But they were hoping this was like a good, powerful, and mighty leader who would deliver them from their oppressor, Rome, you know. They, like most of us, did not understand that Jesus would come first as a humbling servant to die and redeem sinners for the penalty of their sins on a cross. And then he would come back someday and rule forever as kings of kings. What do you think about that?
It's a remarkable thing. You think all that time that they had been studying and reading the scriptures, and they've been preparing for a conquering king. And then, of course, who shows in meekness, we could see it in the Beatitudes lived out, and how Jesus gave of himself to overcome death. I mean, that is the ultimate conquering king, but just not in the way that they had expected.
Yeah. Exactly. Kind of like what we're all going through now. We didn't expect this. We didn't expect it, but the sovereign God is way ahead of us, which is good news. Well, the cool thing is that the disciples obeyed Jesus, and they went and did what they he directed him. We just keep reading here in Matthew a bit. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put on them their cloaks, and Jesus sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut out branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before them and that followed them were shouting. What were they shouting? "Hosanna to the Son of David." There you have it. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city would stir up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from the Nazareth of Galilee." And you know, they totally missed it. They totally missed it. So here is Jesus riding on a donkey, embodying peace and tranquility that God brings to his people. And most all who watched it celebrated and chose to follow and support Jesus, not as their savior, but as the man king. They were so excited. And all those branches are signs of a king, you know, that they lay before a king. But you know what? By the end of the week, Jesus did not meet their expectations. And guess what? Because of their nearsightedness, they didn't understand that Jesus, being in the very nature of God, had plans not to save their lives from the Romans, but rather to save their lives through his own death. And just think about that. He was going to give them a new life that would last eternity. And they were disappointed, and many were angry because God was not doing what they thought he should do. And boy, this just echoes us so much of the time. And the crowds left, and many turned on him, even those closest to Jesus. The 12 disciples either betrayed him outrightly or abandoned him in confusion and fear.
Well, and we still do that today, you know, Nancy. We've got a decision to make. We've just got a couple of minutes left, and I want you to talk about that decision, because I know you've asked yourself the question, had I been in Jerusalem that day and seen both processions passing by, which one would I have chosen to follow? There's only one that brings peace.
Yes. Exactly. And I think this idea of confusion and fear. We are at a time of confusion and fear. If ever we're to brace a God who loves and cares and is with us and is sovereign and knows the end, you know, we have to go there for peace. And there's a lot of anxiety, and I get that. And in the midst of it, to ground us, to anchor us, we've got to go to our Lord and say, Lord, you know the end of this. I am scared to death right now, but you know the end. You know the beginning. I know who you are, God. I know you love us, and I know there is a greater purpose for this. You know, Kelly and Steve, I'm curious what you would say in closing here, but people are saying, if only we could go back to how we were. I think not.
No.
I think, from my perspective, we need to start bending a knee to God. We need to go back to worshiping God. And I see the false idols that we've all fallen into. And I think God is reminding us to come home, come back to Him, follow the one on the donkey. You know, He's the one that can give you life. What are you all thinking about that?
Same thing, the exact same thing.
Yeah.
We've got a chance now. It's a tough situation, but there is mercy within it. And it's not His will that anyone should perish. And this is another opportunity for us to stop and think about the priorities we've had, what we've done, and choose which procession we're going to follow. This world is not going to last forever. Two processions going in opposite directions. Which one are you going with? So, yeah, we are with you. Absolutely. This has been a good question today, Nancy. I'm glad you brought this one up.
Well, it is good. It makes me think. So hopefully it will help other people as well.
Absolutely. Well, I know that you are in the midst of helping a class right now of young men and women. Tell us a little bit about what's happening with your current round of biblical worldview training.
Well, right now our classes, the Anchors Away classes, are closing down, and you know, like everybody else, the kids can't come, but we are reaching them by Zoom, and we are begging Christians to please go to anchorsaway.org, please, and just understand biblical worldview, go through it yourself. We have individual studies you can go through online, step by step, even if you're not used to that. Do it. It's so easy. Even I can do it. It's step by step. But the important thing is, we want you to do this for yourself and also consider opening up your home for kids and inviting them in. This is a video series too. If you'd rather just do videos than learn to teach it, that's fine. But we are begging for Christian adults, please, please help these young people. They're confused. They're losing their faith when they go to college, and we need to be a part of building that up. So we're doing what God's called us to do, and we're seeing the curve increase of young people that can say, yes, I will follow Jesus no matter what. And when they go to college, they're making a difference, and we're grateful for that.
Well, and it's been a wonderful thing too, because you're also doing a new series of videos leading up to Easter, the 10 in 10 questions that we all have about God. And tell us a little bit about where folks can find that on your Facebook feed and when you're posting those live.
Well, right. We're doing 10 in 10, 10 days of 10 minutes of questions we have about God and about Easter, really. So it's been great. We've had a good response. We are on Facebook at 7 o'clock. And we'll be through Easter. So if you're not on my Facebook feed, just go and put my name in there or Anchors Away and jump on, and you will be able to listen to these, and hopefully it will encourage you.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're so glad that you were able to join us today. Thank you so much for another great conversation today. We appreciate you so much, Nancy, and your ministry. So God bless you. Thank you so much. And you have an incredible Easter.
You too. Blessings to you both.
Thanks,
we'll talk
Nancy.
To you soon.
Bye-bye.
It's Teaching Tuesday on Mornings with Kelly and Steve. Call or text them now at 800-969-9467.
8 is just about 7:21, and you're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve. And I got to share something very quickly with you that I just saw on Twitter. It's a short little video clip, and I love this. It is posted by the granddaughter of a man who has beaten COVID-19, and they totally give God all the glory for that. She says, here's my granddad leaving the hospital after 2 weeks. He tested positive for COVID-19, then ended up having pneumonia. The doctor said he was deteriorating. The next 24 hours would be critical, but God. And now they're wheeling him out. He is fine. He's in a wheelchair, but all of the healthcare professionals are lined up and down both sides of the hall, and they are applauding him. Some good news out of this mess.
Two of the most powerful words you can hear in the English language, and in any language, actually,
but God.
Yeah. Oh, amen.